And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on a football Friday with plenty to do over the next few hours. Coming up, some reactions to Thursday night football, plus Odell Beckham Jr. seems to be on his way out of Cleveland. What's next? Plus, we'll get ready for the biggest games in college football this weekend. We'll preview NFL Week 9. I'll give you my picks of the week, the most interesting games to watch this weekend. Which Florida team is going to show up tomorrow night? We'll catch up with Josh Booty in about 30 minutes, former LSU quarterback. We'll check in on the opponents with a scouting report from someone who covers Louisville and someone who covers Florida throughout the afternoon. Charles Barkley with some words for Zion Williamson, and a whole lot more throughout the afternoon. We'll get ready for the football weekend between now and 3. You can join the conversation throughout as well. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio at kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head over there, click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there, or you can even take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Friday, Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, what's going on? It's Friday. It's football season. It's getting down to the wire. In fact, the high schools start the playoffs this weekend.
Oh, all right.
I bet there were two last night.
Yeah, I saw some highlights last night, and I thought, oh, what are they doing playing on a Thursday?
That was because of the threat of rain tonight. So they went ahead and played just to make sure it got out of the way.
Yeah, that makes sense. The news came on after, I guess it was Thursday night football. I left the TV on. I was getting ready for the Citadel game, and I was looking up, and I saw football highlights on the TV. And I thought, oh, what are they doing playing on a Thursday?
And, in fact, both of the winners from last night, Fort Dorchester and Baptist Hill, those are the two that are still undefeated.
Ah.
Yeah, two of the four area teams that are still with perfect records.
Nice. You know, last night I was doing my Citadel work. It is frigid out there. It's cold. So, you know, for those going to the games this weekend or even playing in the games, bundle up for these football games outside. We'll see what it's like in Birmingham this weekend for the Citadel. But I have to admit, and I'm not one who likes the cold, but I kind of got into the spirit last night. It was cold out. I had the game on. I was doing some of my work for the Citadel game, and I had my the fireplace going for the first time, and I had Stevie Wonder going on in the background, and I have to be honest, I have to admit, there may have been some Stevie Wonder Christmas songs that already made the way into the playlist last night on November 4th. I've always said, you don't do the Christmas stuff till after Thanksgiving, but I was just in the mood. It was cold out, and whenever it's cold, that's when I start to put on the Motown. I'm not listening to Peter Tosh when it's 40 degrees out. That's when I put on Stevie Wonder. I'm not listening to Stevie Wonder when I'm sitting out in 90-degree weather in the summer. All right? It's seasonal with this stuff. And it was frigid last night. And again today, I had to turn the fireplace on. I was doing my work. It was a nice night. And I thought, perfect time for some Stevie Wonder. And there may have been a Christmas song or two in there. I'll admit it, on November 4th, probably the earliest I've ever listened to such a thing. But we got all up in the mood yesterday. Let me start with this. Speaking of which, Thursday night football last night. Here's my takeaway from that. Two quick points. Number one, for the Colts, that last week, the loss against the Titans is really going to burn them. Or even the loss against the Ravens. You could see the potential for the Colts. The offense looked fantastic last night. Jonathan Taylor's excellent. Carson Wentz has been playing pretty well. But you blow that game against the Ravens, that really hurt on Monday night football. You blow that game last week against the Titans, that hurt even more. Up 14-0 at home, you blow it. Carson Wentz is with two interceptions late in the game. You lose in overtime. You fall three games out of first place. You win that game, it's a different season right now, especially with Derrick Henry injured. But you can see the potential with this Colts team when you watch them last night, and it's a bad Jets defense. But the way that they played, Carson Wentz was dropping dimes. Jonathan Taylor was running all over them. They scored 45 points and did it with ease. They scored on their first four possessions. They had over 500 yards of offense. That's the potential you see. It's why Vegas loves them. It's why a lot of people like this team last year, this year. It's a good roster. They just need the quarterback. And when Carson Wentz plays like that, they're going to win. When he plays like he did last week, turning it over on the two biggest possessions of the game against the Titans, they're going to lose. It's what's frustrating, I'm sure, for Colts fans. You could see how close you are if you can just get that performance out of the quarterback. If you won last week against the Titans, that's a whole different division. But I want to focus on the Jets, and not so much the Jets, but more of a message in all of football. Right? For the Jets, Zach Wilson is injured, doesn't play. The first part of this is that the Jets just seem to be cursed because you get Mike White. He plays great last week. Everyone's excited. Oh, we get to watch this kid on national TV. He leads a touchdown drive on the second possession. Then he gets injured. He's out for the night. And then they bring in Josh Johnson, who's played in like four games in the NFL in the last 8 years. He played in the AAF. He played in the XFL. He's bounced around. He was a starting quarterback for the Buccaneers and Raheem Morris like 12 years ago. Still in the league. He's like 36 years old. And he went out there, and granted it was garbage time and the Colts were playing, you know, shell coverage, but he went out there and threw for over 300 yards. Played really well. Made the game interesting. That back door was still open. I was hoping for some sort of last-minute cover by the Jets, and instead we got that interception from Josh Johnson. But more importantly, Mike White has played really well. Josh Johnson has played really well in the absence of Zach Wilson. Doesn't reflect well on the young quarterback, and I know he's only a rookie, but we're not talking about being replaced by Tom Brady. Right? We're talking about Josh Johnson, who hasn't been able to stay in the league. He was in the XFL and the AAF. We're talking about Mike White, who nobody knew who that even was a week ago. Came in and threw for over 400 yards on Sunday. The Jets just have back-to-back quarterbacks throw for over 300 yards back-to-back weeks. Neither one's Zach Wilson. It's Mike White and Josh Johnson. You couldn't pick them out of a lineup. And it doesn't reflect well on Zach Wilson. Now, part of it is that it seems like the Jets have made things easier on Mike White when he's been out there as opposed to Zach Wilson. And I know Chris Carter always had the line that, you know, if you were a great singer, you're singing all the time. You're singing in the shower, you're singing in the car, you're singing when no one's home. You don't even have to show off your talent, right? But when you have a voice and you can sing, you want to use it. Similar to Zach Wilson, he's got a great arm. You see him throw the football in practice. As a coach, you want to use it in games. When Mike White comes in, he doesn't have that same arm. He doesn't look as impressive. You make things maybe a little bit easier on him. But with that said, Joe Buck mentioned on the broadcast last night an interesting point that in Sunday's game, Mike White had thrown on a first down 23 times Sunday, which was almost twice as many as Zach Wilson has ever thrown in a game this year on first down. Translation, the Jets trusted Mike White more to go out there and throw it as often as they did on first down Sunday against the Bengals. And again last night with Zach Wilson, let's run it, run. Okay, only when we have to throw it. Right, we'll throw it. They trusted Mike White more than even Zach Wilson, the number two pick. And as I always say on the show, one of the lessons you can learn in life, you learn a lot about somebody after they're gone, in the sense that when you have to replace them, how easily can you replace them? An employee, right, or a coworker. You figure out how much value they truly bring to the company when they're not around. Teachers. Right? You know the difference. When you were in school growing up, the difference between the main teacher and a substitute teacher, are you kidding? The substitute teacher couldn't do anything. You would see the value of the regular teacher. You may not have liked that teacher, but then they're out for a few days and the sub comes in, and you kind of start to miss that teacher after all. Or parents in a divorce, and you're splitting time between, you know, your father and your mother, and you realize like, oh, you know what? This was actually the one that's been kind of keeping the whole family together. This guy over here, yeah, he doesn't really have it together. Right? You realize how valuable somebody truly is when you remove them. And when you hang out with your father on the weekends and, you know, the place is a mess and everything and things aren't going well, it's like, oh, yeah, you know what? It was kind of my mother holding things together. Right? You see the value in that. And so for the Jets, you remove Zach Wilson. Team's playing better without him. You've seen the value. Look at BYU. They're ranked 15th in the playoff poll without Zach Wilson. They're playing just fine without Zach Wilson this year. Meanwhile, compare that to, say, Trevor Lawrence. Now, the Jaguars aren't much better this year with Trevor Lawrence than last year without him. Not so much his fault. But what about Clemson? right? Clemson is really, really struggling without Trevor Lawrence. You see the value of how important and how good Trevor Lawrence was, that he's not easily replaced at Clemson. Zach Wilson has been easily replaced at BYU. And you could point to Alabama and Mac Jones and say, oh, Alabama replaced Mac Jones. He must not be very good. And, you know, even kind of C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields. But the difference is those bigger programs, it's easier to replenish. Alabama, Ohio State, they have good quarterbacks every year. They may not be good NFL quarterbacks, but they're good at the college level. When's the last time Ohio State or Alabama truly had a quarterback problem where you just watched and said, like, yeah, this quarterback's not good enough to play at this level? I mean, rarely, if ever. Big programs, they get the best players in the country. They get the top recruits. It's easy to replace. Not so much so at BYU, and yet BYU this year offensively, they're even better than last year with Zach Wilson. And they're number 15 in the playoff rankings. They're doing just fine. Clemson has the advantage of being a bigger program with good-time recruits. One of them is playing quarterback for them right now and still not good enough to replace Trevor Lawrence. You find out a lot about somebody when they're not around. You find out how truly valuable they are, especially in sports. When Aaron Rodgers is injured, right, you see how much he brings to the table. When Russell Wilson can't play, you figure out how much he's keeping that team together. And if you leave, if you're out with an injury and the team plays better without you, with guys named Mike White and Josh Johnson, that's not a good reflection. When you leave a smaller school like a BYU and yet they're doing just fine without you anyways, not a great reflection. But when you leave Clemson like Trevor Lawrence and they have their worst season in 8 years and the offense is atrocious, you understand, like, oh yeah, you know what? That guy was pretty special. He was pretty valuable. Let me shift to this. Odell Beckham Jr. is expected to be released today. We always talk about the player empowerment movement in the NBA and how over recent years in the NFL, guys have tried to do the same thing. In fact, Odell Beckham Jr. has kind of tried it in the past. This time, though, it actually worked out. He was unhappy in Cleveland. The trade deadline came earlier this week. He had his father post a video. I mean, maybe he didn't have his father post the video, but the video is still up. He could have easily called his dad afterwards and said, what are you doing? Take that down. It was a video of all of the times Baker Mayfield did not throw to a wide-open Odell Beckham Jr. this year. It was a video essentially showing how good OBJ is and how bad Baker Mayfield is. And OBS, I guess, right, senior, posted it on Instagram this week. It's like an 11-minute video. LeBron James tweeted about OBJ, right? Set him free, yada, 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 whatever it was. OBJ was unhappy, and he called in the big guns to help him get out of Cleveland. And nothing happened. They couldn't trade him. They couldn't move him. It's like when you have an old couch, right, and you try to get rid of the couch at, say, a yard sale. Just because you put it at the yard sale for a cheap price doesn't mean someone's going to come along and just take it. And if you can't sell at the yard sale, what do? You think, like, well, that's it. I mean, we got to get rid of this couch. No one's going to buy it. You put it out on the sidewalk. Put it out in front of the house, just the side of the road. Put a for free sign on there. And at that point, yeah, maybe someone's going to come along and take it. They might as well. It's for free. It's sitting out there. Yeah, they'll check it out, see if it's comfortable, see if it's still got some years left in it. And that's kind of like OBJ. He was available for a cheap price at the deadline. People thought, nah, it's still not worth it. Now he's released. He's going to go through waivers. He's free to sign with that, you know, sign with anyone. Some team will probably take a flyer and see if it's worth it. But for the Browns, the juice was no longer worth the squeeze. Wasn't performing. Has always been an issue off the field. The Browns have played better without him the last 2 years. They sent him home to be away from the team this week, so why not just release him? The only reason why you wouldn't would be because of spite, because you wouldn't want him to go play somewhere else and be happy. Right? Because financially, it's going to be the same thing. You have to pay him either way. I know they're trying to work out some sort of deal before they cut him today, but you're going to have to pay him to be there and not play or pay him to leave and not play for you. So you might as well. Now, here's the thing with OBJ. Again, the juice may not be worth the squeeze, but where he could work is where he gets some structure. People are throwing out different names. The Raiders, the Patriots, the Packers. I don't think he would work well with the Raiders with an interim coach and Derek Carr as the quarterback. I think what he needs is some sort of structure. He can't be the biggest star on the team. He worked out well when he was in New York with Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning. And then things ran afoul when it was Ben McAdoo and it was Pat Shurmur. And then he goes to Cleveland, right? And it's a young Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski. And, you know, you need an Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I think that could work. Bill Belichick in New England. Yeah, I think that could work. instead of when he's the biggest star and it's a young coach and it's a young quarterback and, you know, he feels more powerful or maybe they don't want to stand up to him, whatever it may be. He's got seniority. You need that veteran quarterback, that veteran coach, Sean Payton in New Orleans, where he will come in and they'll be able to corral some of the off-the-field distractions or issues. But when you look back at his last couple years, pretty similar to Randy Moss. The numbers and the age are the same. Late 20s, same years, 27 to 29 years old, and the numbers are very similar. Randy Moss at this point in his career was floundering in Oakland with Kerry Collins and the Raiders. And then he wound up in New England, and we know what happened from there. OBJ floundered in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, bad organization, just like the Raiders were back then with Kerry Collins 15 years ago. Moss wound up with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and was excellent in New England. Resurrected his career. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a disaster, not like OBJ, and Moss didn't have the injuries of OBJ, and he's more talented than OBJ, but it's a similar parallel. Right? They both went, Moss went from Minnesota to the Raiders, kind of disappeared for a couple of years. Raiders had some terrible seasons. He had some bad quarterbacks. Then he wound up in New England and was the best wide receiver in the league once again. OBJ is not as good as Randy Moss, and as you get injuries and you get older and you lose that speed, that hurts. Moss still had the size, he had the athleticism, he could jump out of the building. He was the total package. OBJ, not so much. But if he lands in the right spot, I'm not telling you he's going to be the next Randy Moss, but he could still resurrect this career because over the past 2 years, it has been a huge disappointment for Odell Beckham Jr. He just needs to land in the right spot. Where is that right spot? Somewhere that can provide that structure. A Sean Payton, a Bill Belichick, and Aaron Rodgers. It's not the Raiders, right? It's not Derek Carr and an interim special teams head coach. Whatever other teams you want to say, right? Where he'd come in and be the biggest guy on campus. I don't think that's where it works. When he first came into the league, he was a young wide receiver. He had Tom Coughlin. He had Eli Manning. He had the Giants winning Super Bowls years before he got there. That's when things worked out. Then Ben McAdoo took over. It was a disaster. Right, you transition to a younger quarterback, Eli's at the end of his career, and it didn't work out. Goes to Cleveland, Baker Mayfield, Freddie Kitchens, Kevin Stefanski, yet not working. You need a Sean Payton, a Bill Belichick to get the most out of him, kind of like Randy Moss those years ago. When he was in Oakland, I think Lane Kiffin was the head coach at that time. Maybe not. Right, but it wasn't working. Then he goes to New England, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, yep, they got the most out of him once again. Similar for OBJ. Coming up. It's not the most exciting weekend of games in college football, but which games could have the biggest impact on the playoff picture? I'll let you know next. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, which games could have the biggest impact in college football tomorrow? It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Don't forget to get your picks in by the end of the day. I'll get to my picks of the football weekend later on this afternoon. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com to make your picks by 5 p.m. today. And the winner will get themselves a Fan Zone gift card for our weekly Pick'em contest. Online, charlestonsportsradio.com. The Braves World Series parade is beginning. It has begun. It was supposed to start at noon. So I'm sure you'll see all sorts of images and videos come out of that today. Seems like quite the spectacle. You know, they're going to be having their victory parade that leads to the stadium. And then after the parade, which will last a couple of hours, then they're going to have a concert inside with Ludacris and I think Big Boy, I think it was the other one. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good deal. So I don't know what the weather's like. People look bundled up. I'm sure it's as cold there as it is here. But I'm sure that'll be a fun day for Braves fans. I had the idea. I wish. Get Bobby over there and have him do the show live from the parade. He could be doing it while Ludacris is, you know, rapping Southern Hospitality in the background. That'd be a lot of fun. Joe, would you have any interest if your team wins some sort of championship? Would you be a victory parade guy? Or just are you a parade guy in general? Do you like to go to the Thanksgiving parades or Christmas parades or anything? You a parade guy?
I don't go to those very often. You know, just the opportunities don't come up. But, yeah, parades are all right.
Yeah, they're okay, I guess. I haven't been to a parade in a long time. Actually, when I was in minor league baseball, you know, part of the, like, the guerrilla marketing, we would be in all the parades. And then you have to go out there and you walk the parade and you, like, throw things out to the people. And, parades never did it for me. And a victory parade, that's one thing. Like, especially the Braves have been waiting 26 years for this. But if you get a cold day like today and you're bundled up out there, no thanks. I'd rather sit inside. I'll watch it on TV by the fire. That's what I prefer. Throw some more Stevie Wonder on. This weekend in college football, it's not the most exciting matchups on paper. We have only one ranked matchup. It's Texas A&M and it's Auburn. And I'll give you my official tasty top five later on this afternoon of the five best games of the football weekend for your viewing pleasure. But in terms of the impact and what we can expect in college football, Texas A&M and Auburn is the game of the week. It's the best game on the docket tomorrow. Two top 15 teams going at one another in the SEC. And I'll just say, to give a little bit of a preview, it's an interesting matchup. It's a big matchup because Auburn controls their own destiny within the SEC. Texas A&M needs a little help. They almost control their own destiny, right? A&M, if they win out and they get one piece of help along the way, maybe from an Auburn, then they will be just fine in that division. So it's a big game for the SEC. Not so much the playoff picture because these are two teams on the outside looking in, but if Auburn runs the table and they do win the SEC, as a one-loss SEC champion, you got to put them in. And that would happen if they win the rest of their games, as unlikely as that may be. So I guess in that sense, it does have somewhat of an impact on the playoff picture because if Auburn loses tomorrow, then that's another team you can cross off the list. In fact, if either one of these teams lose, you cross them off as, okay, there goes any sort of outside shot of them becoming a playoff team by potentially running the table, winning the SEC with one loss. But for playoff purposes, the games that could have the largest impact, not necessarily will, but the games that, again, it's not the greatest Saturday of games on paper, which is usually when college football gives us a plenty of chaos when you're not expecting it. But the other games to keep an eye on that if something goes sideways, it would really disrupt things, there's a couple of them. Ohio State at Nebraska. Now, Ohio State is favored by 2 touchdowns. But were you overly impressed with Ohio State this past week against Penn State? Now they go on the road to Nebraska. And Nebraska, look, they're not even a Penn State. They're not a Michigan, a Michigan State. But Nebraska is maybe the most underrated 3-5 team, if that's such a thing. I mean, they're under 500. They're not a bad team. They've been playing better these last few weeks. And they'll be at home, and you get Ohio State coming off their game with Penn State. Right? You worry about some sort of letdown. Ohio State against some of the better teams haven't been able to pull away, a la last week. They make things difficult. I'm not telling you Ohio State's going to lose or even should be on upset alert, but it is one of those games to keep an eye on for the playoff picture. Because what a disruption that would be if Ohio State were to lose to Nebraska. Sticking in the Big Ten, the most notable game out of the Big Ten is Michigan State going to Purdue. Now, Michigan State, and we'll get to Wake Forest, but those are the two teams you have to keep the closest eye on this weekend. Michigan State's favored by only 3 at Purdue, right? So this is expected to be a close game. And Michigan State's the number 3 team in the country. Obviously can't afford a loss. Maybe can't afford a close game on the road against Purdue to have to sweat it out. We know Purdue a couple of weeks ago beat up on Iowa, beat them by 17 when Iowa's the number 2 team in the country. So Purdue has some of that giant slayer to them. And for Michigan State, the concern, of course, is a letdown spot. You're coming off that dramatic come-from-behind win against Michigan. Then we get the college football playoff rankings. You're put into the top 4. People are talking about how good you are all week. You got the running back, Kenneth Walker, now. People are talking about him for the Heisman. And now you have to go on the road to an unranked Purdue after you just beat Michigan. And this is all new for Michigan State. For these kids getting these accolades thrown their way, and even for Mel Tucker. Now, Mel Tucker's coached at LSU. He's coaches Alabama. But as a head coach, he's never had a team in this type of situation. So this is new for everybody involved. And sometimes you can read your own press clippings, right? And you get a little bit of a big head, and then you look, oh, Purdue, yeah, we don't have to worry about them. They're not ranked. You know, they're a 500 team. And you take them a little lightly, or you just have a few more distractions this week. Kenneth Walker's getting more phone calls, more texts. He's responding to more tweets telling him how great he is. He starts to feel good about himself. All right, so the classic letdown spot for Michigan State on the road tomorrow at Purdue. Only a 3-point favorite. And as the number 3 team in the country, right, they lose that one, that's a big loss because they still have Ohio State up and the Big Ten, you know, things change. Michigan State's the last of those undefeateds. And then you have Wake Forest, who is an underdog at UNC. And this is the team most on upset alert, although technically it wouldn't be an upset because they're the underdog. UNC is favored. And this is, I've been comparing it all week to Kentucky from this past weekend. Kentucky was in a similar spot a week ago. They were the number 12 team in the country. They were going on the road to Mississippi State, a 500 team, much like UNC. And Kentucky was an underdog. And I thought, that is crazy. Kentucky coming off a bye. How are they an underdog? And they went out there and totally laid an egg. And then I woke up the next day. I was looking at the upcoming schedule, and I saw Wake Forest, an underdog at UNC. And I thought, nope, not going to fool me again. I trust Vegas. Wake Forest is an underdog for a reason. And I think a big part of it is because a lot of times, I always say Vegas, they don't include any emotion. They're not emotional. They're just trying to make money. And a lot of times, they still go back to their preseason expectations. And if you go back to the preseason, right, we all thought UNC was going to be so much better than Wake Forest this year. We thought UNC would compete for the ACC and potentially a playoff spot. Not Wake Forest. We had Wake Forest as the 500 team. UNC has, at least heading into the season, we thought the better quarterback, the better coach, better players. They're at home in this situation. If you had a look-ahead line at the start of the season, UNC probably would have been a very heavy favorite against Wake Forest in this game. Now Wake Forest is playing really well, but they haven't played a ranked team all season, right? They're undefeated. They really haven't been challenged yet. They have to go to UNC here. UNC still has some talent. They're just an underachieving team. I could see why UNC would be favored in this spot, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win tomorrow. And that, of course, would be awful for Wake Forest's case and the ACC. They would doom them. And many believe Wake Forest, even though they're undefeated and they're a top 10 team, they haven't played anybody. They haven't been challenged yet. So this would be the type of deal where the team would get exposed and you'd say, yeah, I told you so. Wake Forest, they're not that good. It's a big spot for them on the road at UNC tomorrow and as an underdog. That's the biggest game or could have the biggest impact where Wake Forest already not in a great spot to make the playoff to begin with, but if they lose tomorrow, that's probably another team you could cross off the list. And the last game I'll give you is out in the Pac-12. You have Oregon as the number 4 team in the country. They go to Washington, and they're favored by a touchdown at Washington. Now, Washington has really underachieved this year. They've underperformed. They're similar to UNC. High expectations for Washington coming in this year, and here you have Oregon coming in instead, who's been having the good year. Washington's been down, and Jimmy Lake, the head coach of Washington, he's in a lot of trouble out there. Fans are not happy. He put his foot in his mouth this week talking about recruiting, much like Dan Mullen. Whenever these coaches talk about recruiting, it's always a problem. They're 500 this year. Jimmy Lake has not done a good job replacing Chris Peterson. But Washington, still a good team and an important game. And these two programs don't like each other, and they've had some big battles over the years. And Oregon's on the road, and anytime you have to go on the road like that, you have to worry for a conference game on the road. And Oregon's the number 4 team in the country. They can't afford a loss, so keep an eye on them as well. Those are the games that could have the biggest impact on the playoff picture tomorrow. And then there's Cincinnati, who should win against Tulsa. They're favored by 22.5 against Tulsa at home. College game day is going to be there. So I wouldn't even include that. But obviously we know the deal with Cincinnati. If they want any shot at a playoff appearance, you just got to win out. And you better win tomorrow against Tulsa when you're favored by 22.5. But Tulsa, this is a rematch in the conference championship a year ago. Tulsa's having a down year. They're only 3-5, but they were a really good team a year ago. And Cincinnati's got that target on their back. Everyone wants to go beat them. So you can't look past any opponent if you're Cincinnati. They'll play Tulsa at home tomorrow as more than a 3-touchdown favorite. Should not be a problem there. By the way, with College game day going to Cincinnati, do we think that's somewhat hypocritical when you put Cincinnati at number 6 in the rankings and then you go there this weekend, right? Meaning that it's a big deal, it's a big game, this and that, but you don't put them in the playoff. You think it's a big enough deal to bring your production there, but not a big enough deal to put them in the playoff. And I know ESPN's not the one putting the rankings together, but just the narratives, the way you talk about it on ESPN, the way we talk about it at college football, about Cincinnati, no, they don't belong. But let's go put College game day out there because they're a big enough deal to have game day out there. Goes back to my idea of, kind of keeping them in the friend zone. Keep them close enough, but not too close. You're a big enough deal that we'll come bring College game day out there, but we don't take you serious enough to consider you a true championship contender. I know it's not, ESPN's not making both decisions. There's the committee that does the playoff rankings. We heard from Dave Bartu earlier this week about what goes into that. I just find it, a little funny. If I'm a Cincinnati fan, I'd say, forget that. Now, you guys want to come out here for College game day, but we can't get the respect. We get the respect for game day. We can't get the respect to be put into the playoff committee. And I hear people at that network talk about us and how we don't deserve to be there. But you'll bring College game day out there for a lousy game, too. Anyways, those are the games that could have an impact on the college football playoff. tomorrow, depending on how they go. We were supposed to catch up with Josh Booty coming up, but it looks like something has come up in his schedule. So instead, when we come back, let's shift to Charles Barkley with some interesting comments, some humorous comments, on Zion Williamson. We'll get to that when we come back. Plus, my picks later on, the best games of the weekend. We'll break down week 9 of the NFL season. We'll get ready for Clemson and the Gamecocks games this weekend as well. We got plenty to do on a Football Friday. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Charles Barkley with some harsh, humorous, maybe accurate criticism and comments on Zion Williamson. Get to that coming up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Since I had mentioned it, teased it earlier, let me circle back. We were supposed to have Josh Booty on the show here. You may remember him from playing quarterback at LSU for Nick Saban. Something has come up with his schedule today, so we'll try to reschedule next week. But he is a real interesting – he has an interesting background. You know, he played professional baseball, played for the Marlins, then went to college, played quarterback for LSU, went into the NFL. So when you think of guys who played professionally in both sports, you may not think of a Josh Booty, but that was the case. Played in Major League Baseball and the NFL. While he was at LSU, he was coached by Nick Saban. Jimbo Fisher was on that staff. So, too, was Mel Tucker. And some of the coaches right now and the biggest coaches in the – in the sport right now. And then also, additionally, you had Adam Gase was one of the assistants on that staff, and there was another coach in the NFL who was on that staff. I'm going to have to look this up now. I can't recall. But what a coaching staff it was for LSU. He had a bunch of pro talent on that team as well. He was one of three quarterbacks from that roster that ended up going to the NFL. Ended up coming back later on to try to make it as a knuckleball pitcher in Major League Baseball years later. And his brother played quarterback at USC. You may remember John David Booty, who then went into the NFL as well. So he played at LSU. His brother played at USC. Those are the two jobs open now that are the two biggest jobs. So we are going to get all sorts of insight on all this stuff. Unfortunately, we'll try to reschedule for next week with Josh Booty and talk about, instead of previewing the weekend in college football, we'll break it down with him hopefully next week if he can join the show. So with that, we transition. I saw this on the interweb, Charles Barkley talking about Zion Williamson. Now, we've discussed Zion so far, the way things have gone this year, right? It's early on in the NBA season. We don't do a ton of early NBA talk, but Zion Williamson, I think this is a big story. I mean, the Pelicans, look, they're 1-7. They're a lousy team. I don't know if Zion is even happy there to begin with. Now he's got this injury once again. He can't get on the floor. That's been the concern going into his career. It's been the concern throughout his career. Can he stay on the floor? And then on top of that, it's the health. Right? It's the weight. If you Google Zion Williamson, all you have to do is Google his name. Go to Google Images. You'll see all the photos. The side-by-side of his rookie year with the Pelicans when he has the muscle tone. He's you know, he's defined. He's ripped. Yeah, he was a little thick but still muscular. And then the pictures from this year where you don't see those muscles. And he is a little pudgier. Face is a little thicker. So Charles Barkley on the Inside the NBA on TNT, this crew, they were talking about it. They showed Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith, the footage of Zion trying to get loose on the court doing his rehab. And here's what Charles Barkley thought when he saw Zion Williamson trying to warm up.
Zion warming up. We don't have him. It could be another 2-3 weeks. But, Chuck, you had a visceral reaction to this.
It looked like me and Shaq had a baby. They gonna do, man. I look like I quit. I gotta get.
Hey, come on, man.
What it look like, Chuck?
Like me and you had a baby. God dang, it's too. They eat good in New Orleans.
Word about Chico.
I'm joking and I'm serious.
What do you look like?
It's like, ooh, Shaq, we had a baby over the summer. Hey, you know what, Adam?
Yeah.
First of all,
I'm concerned.
Okay.
I am really concerned about, you know, when I tell this story, and I'm being critical. It is what it is.
Moses Malone.
Moses Malone said to me, he said I was fat and lazy, and I started to cry a little bit.
And really?
Yeah, I did. Because I couldn't kick his ass.
Yeah.
I mean, he was Moses Malone. But it was a turning point in my career. And he's already hurt. You should not get hurt when you're young. And he's already had surgeries on his legs. Now he's got a broken foot. He's going to have to learn, even when you're hurt, you're going to have to control your eating. Because when people say, when guys get hurt, Adam, when they come back, you're trying to get in shape.
Right.
And if you're putting all that stress on your knees and your feet, you're just going to keep getting hurt. Mm. Somebody's got to be a grown person down in that relationship and says, yo, man, you got to get in shape.
And
I know he got a lot of power. Yeah. So everybody's my brother, they're like, if we don't get some going, he's going to leave. But you're not going to win if he's always hurt either.
No question, because you don't play.
That was Barkley talking about Zion Williamson and the issues or concerns for him and the Pelicans. Those guys, right? Nobody has more. That's the best show on TV when it comes to sports. That you can't see it. You can only hear it there, of course. This is radio. But if you watch the clip, Shaq was laughing so much. I mean, he just walked off the set and then had to come back as Barkley described Zion Williamson as if, he was the child of Shaq and Barkley himself with, how pudgy he may be getting. And as he referenced, right, eating good in New Orleans. We did this on the show a few weeks ago. You got to get him out of there when his next contract's up, when he has the ability to move out of there. Where do you got to go? You got to go to some city with lousy food. Go put him, I don't know where. Go put him in like Cleveland or Detroit. I don't know how good the food scene is there. I've been to those cities. Nothing stood out. Detroit apparently has their own type of, own style of pizza now. You see these commercials where they put like the sauce on top? I don't know if that's a thing. So maybe not Detroit because of the pizza. But you got to go somewhere where it's not so much about the food instead of New Orleans. But Barkley, there's so much to unpack in that clip. He made some good points that we've said before in the show. Right, that when you get hurt when you're young, that's not good. Nobody gets healthier as they get older. As I always say, I always mention about back problems. Right, you ever hear somebody who talks about their former back issues? Nobody gets back issues that they don't have to worry about anymore. I used to have back problems. You always have back problems. If you ever hurt your ankle, you know that for the rest of your life, like your ankle, you're going to have to be careful. If you ever play sports, you're going to have to wear the ankle brace or you have to tape your ankle. Once you turn your ankle once, right, like it's weak. You're going to have ankle problems. Once you injure your knee once, you could have knee issues the rest of your life. You don't get healthier as you get older in that sense, not from injuries. I mean, maybe, health-wise, you could take care of yourself, you lose some weight, but in terms of once you hurt your ankle a few times, like, you're going to have ankle problems probably for the rest of your career or life. You got to be careful with that thing. You're going to be able to turn it a little easier. And also, this idea that I referenced earlier, it's like a never-ending cycle. That Barkley, we talked about this with Rex Walters on the show earlier this week. It's a never-ending cycle of you get injured, have to be up off your feet, maybe put some weight on you. You're not as active because you're injured. You're rehabbing. You can't go out there and run. You can't play basketball. And when you're less active, you could pack on a few pounds. And then when you pack on a few pounds and you go back out there, now you're carrying more weight around, that could lead to injuries. So it's this never-ending cycle that as you get injured, it could lead to you putting on more weight. And as you put on more weight, that could lead to you getting injured. So you really have to work even harder when you're injured, or you have to be disciplined, right, in your eating habits, whatever it may be. I don't know what Zion does in his personal life. But when you are dealing with injuries and some weight trouble, right, it's a lot harder to try to shed those pounds. And as Barkley said at the end, you kind of needed the grown-up in the room. For Barkley, it was Moses Malone that made him cry and realize, like, yeah, you know what? I do need to get in shape. And for Barkley, he can poke fun and he can be critical, but, he's somebody that went through the same thing as well. People were very concerned or critical of his size, his weight, and how it would hold him back. And he had a great NBA career. For Zion, he has more of the injury concern than Barkley did, but, of course, could still have a great NBA career. Just got to take care of himself. And for Barkley, Moses Malone was the adult in the room that said, hey, guy, you got to get into shape. Now, you want to have a good NBA career, you got to start eating better. You got to take care of yourself. You got to shed some of these pounds. You got to get up and down the floor a little bit better. For Zion, you need somebody to say the same thing. Like, guy, you already have injury issues. You're a young kid. You got to take care of yourself. Look at these photos from the last 2 years. You've put on some pounds. You've been more injured. Now, you got to take care of yourself. You got to turn this thing around. Because he could have a great career ahead of him if he takes care of it. And Barkley also alluded, the last thing to touch on is that Barkley alluded to, you know, having the power. It can be hard to have that conversation with somebody when, you know, they're kind of higher up than you. It can be hard to try to tell your boss something that's that he's doing wrong at the company because he's your boss. He has more power. He may not care what you have to say. You may be timid or afraid to say something to him because he is your boss. He has more power. He's higher up than you. It's his company, right? But you got to tell him, like, hey, something's going on here at the company. It's not working. We got to change this. This isn't working out. Sometimes that can be a difficult conversation to try to go have with somebody who has the, you know, more power and more importance than you. And they'll say, oh, who cares? Who cares what you think? But someone's got to sit down Zion, or he's got to come to the realization, like, man, I got to make sure I'm taking care of myself. Not only in terms of potentially the weight issue, if that is an issue, but more importantly, just your health, your injuries. You've been injury prone already. You're a young kid. You could have a great career. You just have to make sure you're out there to have that great career. And without him, the Pelicans are nothing. So the Pelicans have to make sure that he is okay and available and good to go. Because otherwise, without him, they're the worst team in the league. Now, they're a disaster. And who knows when Zion will get back on the floor. A humorous moment from Charles Barkley. Maybe a little, you know, I don't know, maybe some people may feel like that's a little too rough. But I think there's a lot of honesty or truth in there. And it can come from Charles, not only because he's funny and he's kind of like Teflon. Barkley can say whatever, people don't care. But also because he kind of went through it as well. It's why these NBA guys love their coaches to be former players. Guys who went through it. And if there's anybody that could deliver a message like that to Zion, right, Barkley's one of those guys. There's been other guys throughout the years that have played themselves out of the league because they couldn't take care of themselves. Barkley was the opposite, right? He made sure that didn't happen and had a great career. Zion needs to make sure that doesn't happen and have a great career. Don't become like a tractor trailer, or who was the guy a couple of years ago with the Cleveland Cavs? Anthony Bennett, right? Was that his name? Same idea. A couple of years back, within the last decade, Anthony Bennett was a top draft pick, couldn't take care of himself, couldn't have an NBA career. All right, don't let that happen to you. We'll wrap up hour one when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Wrapping up hour one on a football Friday. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll preview all of the NFL games this weekend. Week 9 of the NFL season. We'll run through them in about 10 minutes. Plus, we'll get the opponent scouting report next hour on the Louisville side of things as we get ready for Louisville-Clemson. And in the final hour, we'll preview Florida as the Gators come to town to take on the Gamecocks tomorrow night. Which Gators team are we going to get? With Dan Mullen, you're never sure. And how hot is that seat truly for Dan Mullen right now as he comes to town to play the Gamecocks?
And I'm sure you will be corrected on the pronunciation of Louisville.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's another one that probably drives people crazy. I don't know. I feel like that one's a little pretentious, if I'm being honest with you. The Bengals thing, okay, fine, I get it, whatever.
Yeah, Bengals. And Bengals. Okay.
Come on, we're splitting hairs. I'm sure I'll continue to say it incorrectly. By the way, right, the idea was that maybe it's a northern thing, but the team is a northern team, so maybe the correct way is actually Bengals.
Are they northern or midwestern?
Cincinnati, Ohio, I consider that northern more than midwest. I don't know. Because I go by the divisions.
Let's have some people from Ohio call in and tell us whether they consider themselves midwestern or northeastern.
Well, no, I don't consider them northeast. See, that's different to me. You got the northeast, then you have the north. And I do this, I guess it's the football divisions in me.
Okay, northern or midwestern.
Right, yeah, I consider it northern. Certainly not northeast, no. But to me, there's a separate category of the north, which is like straight above, right, like Florida, straight up. Which to me, I do, and I think this all comes back to the NFL, because what division are the Bengals, whatever, in? It's the AFC North.
But Indianapolis is in the south.
Yeah, that's
aren't
true.
Aren't they?
That's true. But we
and
do have.
And Miami's in the east.
Yeah.
And they're farther south than some of the teams in the south division, like Jacksonville.
They're on the east coast, though, so that works. But just the idea, I mean, there is a south, right? We call this the south already. We have the northeast, the south, the west, the midwest, I also include the North. The North to me is that part up there because they're not in the mid. They're not in the mid. The middle, I mean, I guess the middle if you're looking like east to west, right? But I look at the middle of, if you understand what I'm trying to lay out here visually, I look at the middle as the actual middle of the country. Like the actual, the very center of the 48 states put together.
Those would be the plain states, though.
Okay, the plain states. Well, that's what I consider the Midwest. Now, I may be way off here in my ideology of the geography.
But it's pretty close to the heartland, right?
The heartland?
Yes.
What's the heartland?
I guess like around Indianapolis or Indiana and Illinois and, you know, some of those Midwestern states around that area. Because Cincinnati is just over the border from there. And, well, it's right there with Kentucky also, which Kentucky is also called a border state.
Yeah, see, that's the surprising thing. That's always surprised me about Kentucky and Cincinnati. Right, because when we used to go to we used to play a team in Kentucky when I worked for Stetson, and we would stay in Cincinnati because, yes, it was right over the border. We would fly into Cincinnati to go to Kentucky, and I always thought of growing up in the Northeast, and you think of Kentucky and SEC and everything, I always thought of them as the South, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. Right, we're a 15-minute drive from Cincinnati, and I always thought of Cincinnati before I ever traveled over there as the North. So anyways, long story short, I call that area the North.
Now, here's the real monkey wrench.
Okay.
Dallas is in the NFC East, right?
Yeah, go figure.
Okay, then.
Yeah. No, the whole thing's crazy. I mean, there was a time when when we had three divisions in the NFL. And, by the way, if we want to go off of NFL divisions, right, they used to have the NFL Central, so we could do that. We could say they're in the center part. They're a center team, a central team, I don't know, the center of the country.
But then again, when Jacksonville joined, they were in the AFC Central. And you can't get more east or, not as far south as Miami, but then again, you can't get any more east because they're right there on the ocean.
How about when the Arizona Cardinals were in the East?
That's because they were in St. Louis before.
Yeah, but come on, what's up with that? And the Panthers were in the West. There was not too long ago, about 20 years ago, the NFL used to consider the Carolinas the West Coast, apparently. That's what we can say right now. We're Westerners. Not only are we Southerners, we're out West as well. The Panthers were in the NFC West, and so were the Falcons. Those divisions back then made no sense in the NFL, so I guess it's a bad idea for me to then base how I categorize the country in different states based off of my NFL divisions. That's how I learned my geography, though, growing up. When you talked about certain states, I thought, oh, they're in the NFC North. Yeah, that's a northern state. It's a northern team. Speaking of the NFL, we'll preview all the games in week 9 of the NFL coming up to start hour 2 next. It's the Moore Midday Show on ESPN Radio.